Morning, everyone. Welcome to New Covenant Worship Center. We are live here in the building on this third Sunday in the month of August. Listen, I appreciate you all joining us on YouTube, on Facebook. Amen. We're so grateful to have you on today. Listen, I need you to like, share, and comment on today. We're going to have an awesome time in the Lord. We're going to open up in prayer. We're going to give praise and worship, and we're going to get the word of God, and we're going to allow God to move in this place. So listen, those of you all who are watching virtually, I'm telling you, set the atmosphere where you're at. Begin to allow God to come in, to move, and to saturate that atmosphere. And we're here in the building. We're going to release the praise of God, the worship of God. So come on, those of you all who can stand, come on, let's stand and give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. For he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be magnified. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, God, to give you all the praise, God. We come to thank you today, God. We come to honor you and praise you and lift you up on today, Father God. Lord, we come today, Father God, to magnify, to glorify, God, and to give your name all the praise, Father God. We thank you for waking us up this morning, God. We thank you for the activities of our limbs on today, God. That, Lord, you gave us mobility, God. That you gave us a mind, God, to come in and serve you on today, Father God. We thank you for peace in our hearts on today, God. That, Lord, you continue to rest upon our soul on today, God. That you continue to strengthen us and build us up on today, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, God, to get it right in your presence on today, God. That, Lord, you are a merciful God. You are a loving God, a kind God, a God of compassion on today, Father God. And we just come to worship you, Father God. We come to exalt you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Father God. But, Lord, you are mighty on today, Father God, and you are greatly to be praised on today, Father God. And Lord, we just come with a heart of thanksgiving on today, God, and we come lifting our voice in praise on today, God, to magnify you on today, God, to glorify you on today, God. We make you large in this place, God, for we know that you are the author and the finisher of our faith on today, God, and it is through you that we live and we move and we have our being on today, God. Lord, we don't take it for granted, God, but Lord, we are forever thankful, God. We are forever grateful on today, Father God, for the grace that you bestowed upon us, God. That, Lord, you continue to strengthen. You continue to give us, Lord, direction, God. You continue to lead and guide us, Father God. And, Lord, we just ask that you pour out your spirit of healing on today, God. That, Lord, those who are dealing with sickness in their body, God, you said in your word that by your stripes we are healed on today, God. And we decree and declare that the manifestation of healing is being made available unto us on today, God, and that we shall begin to receive it on today, God, that it shall touch our bodies on today, God, that you're removing cancer, God, you're removing high blood pressure, God, diabetes on today, God, any form, God, of sickness, God, you have the power to heal and deliver, God, and we trust you on today, God, we trust your word on today, God, that, Lord, we bless you on today, God, that, Lord, you're removing the coronavirus, God, from the atmosphere, God, you're removing it, God, from the earth realm on today, God. It will not have an impact to infiltrate our bodies on today, God. I decree and declare that the blood of Jesus is covering us on today, God. That no virus, God, that no particular plague, God, shall come nigh our dwelling on today, God. We cancel the assignment of monkeypox today, God. We come up against the spreading of it, God. The fear of it on today, God. The unknown, God, that's attached to it on today, God. That you will begin to heal and deliver like never before, God. But Lord, we decree that Psalms 91 is our portion, God. That Lord, we are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty on today, Father God. We thank you that you're protecting us, God. You're watching over us, Father God. And that Lord, we decree that there are miracles, signs, and wonders, God, that are moving in our life on today, God. And Lord, we speak blessings today, God. We speak financial increase today, God. We speak liberty and freedom today, God. We speak deliverance today, Father God. That, Lord, break down, God, every stronghold, God. Lord, every area where the enemy has tried to bring us in bondage. But you said where the Son is set free is free indeed on today, Father God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, God. And Lord, we thank you, God, that liberty abides in this place. That love abides in this place. Grace abides in this place, God. Joy abides in this place. Peace abides in this place, God. Why? Because your presence is here, God. Because your anointing is here, God. believe, dog, that we really love, dog, to make some noise and just to begin to shout. Oh, my God.
our Jesus. Oh, we worship and we adore you, Jesus. We bless your name, God. We thank you for being strong, for being mighty, for being consistent. Hallelujah. God, we honor you, Jesus. We thank you that you are strong when we are weak, oh God.
Yes,
God. And God, we bless you. Hallelujah. Come on and worship him all over the room. God has been so good to us. And because he's strong and mighty, we thank God that he's already run the victory. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you.
for saving us, God. Thank you, Lord, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Oh, God, we love you today. We honor you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to do it, but he did. I wasn't worthy to be saved. I wasn't worthy of his love. I wasn't worthy of his grace. But he saw fit. He looked beyond our faults. He looked beyond our situation. And he said, I'm going to reach down and he's going to pull us up and save us. God, we thank you. Listen at this. I thank God that he keeps on doing it again and again and again. He keeps doing it again and again and again. He picks us up every time we fall. My God, my God. See some faces we haven't seen in a while. Amen. God bless you. Uncle Wesley, amen, is here in the back. Amen. Thank God for him. Sister Lakeisha, amen. Just some people, amen, we haven't seen, but it's good to be in the building. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, we're going to move forward in our service on this morning. We're going to prepare to give and sow our tithes and our offering on today. Amen. I'm telling you, God is good and he is faithful. Amen.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful and excited for God continue to keep us, continue to bless us and give us the resources that we're able to give and to sow into the work of the kingdom. So those of you all who are watching online, you can go to our website and give at www.newcovncwc.com. Click the give tab. You can give towards your tithes and offering, toward our benevolence, and toward our debt freedom seed. Amen. As we believe in God to be a debt free ministry. Amen.
Amen.
For those of you all who have easy tithe, you can go to easy tithe, sow your seed, give your seed. Those of you all who've never set up easy tithe, just go ahead and go to your app store, look for Easy Tithe, download the app, look for New Covenant Worship Center, Joliet, Illinois, and you can set up all of the things that you need to give on a regular basis, however way you choose to give. Those of y'all who still use the United States Postal Service, amen, it's still in operation, and we thank God for all of our postal workers. Give a hand to our postal workers, amen. I know Sister Benita, amen, is still in the post office. We thank God for her, amen, serving, amen, and doing what she does. But we thank God for postal workers. I'm telling you, they do it hard work, amen, and doing what's necessary to keep us moving around the world, amen. So 2423 Glenwood Avenue, you can mail your seed, Joliet, Illinois, 60435. And then you need an envelope in the building, Brother Terrence, amen. The great Brother Terrence is here. He will supply you with an envelope, amen. Brother Terrence is faithful, amen. Appreciate him, amen. Sow my seed while you all are sowing. Giving music here, man, that should get you ready. Yes, the Spirit just told you to change. $5. He said, track it to 50. Hallelujah.
Fruit juice and water from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday is Bible study, and Bible study is at 6:30 on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And on Saturday, we have the movement ministry at 7 a.m. Meet us in the church parking lot, 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. And Sunday, that's the Holy Ghost day, we have Sunday school at 9 a.m. and Sunday morning worship service start at 10 a.m. That is the end of our announcement. Raise to your feet, saints, as we stand and get this awesome word from the one and only. Ooh, he's looking so dapper in this brown on him. I'm telling you, this chocolate is looking real sweet. So I know
that's
the world.
That's my biological sister for all the visitors. Amen. Praise the Lord.
That is. We're going to have an awesome word. And the flavor of the day is going to be so awesome.
Yeah.
So feed us well.
Yeah.
And that appetizer and that entree, I'll tell you, it's going to be awesome. So here we are. We welcome the one and only Apostle Tony
Stones. Thank you. Sister Lord, say man, appreciate you calling and seeing in his presence. I'm telling y'all. That little small big sister, man. Just start trouble all day long. She just picking up from where she left off at last night. Just trouble all day. I let her dance with me and now it's just all messed up, man. I gotta go. Amen. Listen. It's too much. It's good to laugh though. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So laugh, have a good time, and smile, and enjoy life. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, I'm so excited about this word today. And it's a word that we have heard many times, but the Lord just began to just bring some different things out of this today as we're in part three of our series, The Big Payback. The Big Payback. And we started this thing off and we're sharing and talking about how God, it's his responsibility to take vengeance for us, and we can't take vengeance into our own hands. But we have to realize and understand that there's some things that we learned even on last week as representing sowing and reaping. And when you sow some things, we got to realize that we're going to reap that. Amen. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap to the flesh. Sow to the spirit, you'll reap to the spirit. Amen. And so today we're actually going to be right back in the book of Judges, but we're going to go a few chapters over. We're going to visit Brother Gideon and kind of talk about him today, because I want us to recognize and begin to get into the place of knowing that today I want you to make the declaration that I'm getting ready to pay back the enemy, because I'm getting ready to obey God to break every generational curse off my bloodline. I'm telling you, your act of obedience is about to propel you into the place to break every generational curse. And I want you to say this to yourself: God, you chose me.
God, you chose me.
Oh my God, I felt that thing. I need you to say it one more time, because I need you to let yourself know that you've been chosen. God, you chose me.
God, you chose me.
So we're going to move in this thing. I'm going to go a little slow, but I'm telling you, it's going to bless you. It's going to feed you, because we got a lot to cover. But I'm hoping that God will give us the time that we need to get to the part that we got to get to today. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We're in the New Living Translation, NLT version. Amen. I think everybody's there. Let's go, starting at verse 1. It says, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. Now notice this, what we talked about from last week, when there was acts of obedience, when they were disobeying the word of God and his instructions, that the Lord allowed enemies to come and take them captive. The Lord allowed enemies to come and to begin to put them into bondage and to destroy them and to cause all types of havoc in their lives. So at this point, once again, because we keep going through cycles. Because for a period of time, we do well, we do good, we get under good leadership, we obey the instructions of the Lord, and then another generation rises up where they don't now recognize the trueness and the realness and the principles of God and following His instructions and being obedient, and now the enemy comes in and evil is opened up and evil is coming through the door because of our disobedience. And so now it says the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. Now, this is what you have to recognize. I'm telling you, I'm going to go slow there because I want you to pick up on everything. A lot of us do not think that the evil is being seen because your partner doesn't see it. Because your friend doesn't see it. But the Lord sees all. It says the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So listen at this. The Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. So because of that evil and because of the evil intent of their heart, the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, the caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, martyrs from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. These enemy hordes, coming with their livestock and tents, were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count. And they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then, here we go, the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Now, you got to ask yourself, how long am I going to stay in this cycle? How long am I going to go through this challenge? How long am I going to be in this struggle? How long am I going to go in this fight before I open my mouth to cry out unto the Lord so that God can begin to come into my situation and to begin to bring me out and bring me to the place where He desires for me to be at? Because me being under the bondage of living in a place where everything of my resources have been snatched from me, when everything of the land has been made bare, how long am I going to live in this distress? How long am I going to live in this despair? How long am I going to live in this place of desolation? And so once they got to the place where it says they were reduced to starvation, then they cried out. So you have to recognize, what is the point of your starvation that's going to cause you to cry out? When will you recognize that I've been in this struggle too long? I've been trying to work it myself. I've been trying to figure it out. I've been following the patterns that my uncle, my aunties, my grandparents, and those people before me, they've been in the same cycle. You keep seeing alcoholics raise up generation after generation, and you choose to ask yourself, well, when do I stop and say, I'm not going to take a drink? When do you stop and say, I'm not going to indulge? When do you stop and say that I'm not going to follow in the pattern that has preceded me, but I'm going to choose to say that I'm going to starve this particular thing because I'm going to cry out to the Lord because I want the cycle broken in my life today, right now. So God, I'm crying out to you for help. So when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. I'm here to help somebody get free today. When you cry out to God, God will raise up a messenger. God will raise up a word that's just for you. God will raise up the word that will begin to speak to you, that will begin to give you the courage, that will give you the ability and the strength to get out of the cycle of defeat, to move beyond the place of the destruction, of the chaos, of the calamity, of the starvation, of the desolation. God said, I'll send a prophet to you when you cry out unto me. See, some of us have not received the word of the Lord just by reading the scripture because you're just reading it out of a particular ritual. But I need you to read out of a place where I'm crying out to you, Lord, today. And I need to hear a word from you. I need you to speak to my spirit. I need you to speak to my situation. And when you begin to seek God with that type of tenacity, with that type of commitment, with that type of hunger, God will begin to raise up a word and He'll send it to speak just to you. So He sent a prophet. Oh my God. Listen. Just because there's a drought and starvation around you does not mean that the word is not in operation.
Amen.
See, you have to have faith to believe that even in your famine days, God's word is still alive. I may not have the natural resources. I may not have the food, the crops, the animals that I had before. But God said there's a prophet still in the midst of the drought. There's a prophet still in the midst of your desert situation. And if I can just get the word of the prophet, he can begin to bring some produce to begin to increase my crop and to restore the thing that the enemy has destroyed in my life. He said, when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me. So the prophet, see, this is where we have issue at, because we think the prophet only comes to prophesy your house, your car, the money, the promotion, the increase, and the favor of the Lord. And see, what happens is we don't want the voice of the true prophet, and I thank God that God has given me the prophetic voice, because I teach the Bible and I teach the word of God, and the word of God will begin to bring forth conviction to your heart. But what has happened is we have now diluted the office and the call of the prophet, where they only speak the things to the itching ears. But I'm here to begin to stand flat-footed and to begin to preach the gospel and preach the word of God, so that the word of God will expose the sin that's in my life, so that I can begin to be convicted, and that God can help me uproot this sin, because I want to be free from the thing that's constantly got me bound, that's constantly got me in a struggle. And so this is the place where the prophet came in. He's told them what their issue was. He began to tell them that you did not listen to me.
Yes.
When God had told you, listen, don't keep going in that pathway. Amen. Don't keep following down that road. Yeah. Don't keep going after those idols. Don't keep going in those particular hangout spots. He said, you didn't listen to me. He said that you must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live, but you have not listened to me. Listen, once you receive salvation, you got to make up your mind to say, I'm disconnecting from the gods of my ancestors. I'm disconnecting from the gods of my ancestors and the ones and the things that they have worshipped before, the idols that they have raised up, the things that they have done that in order has placed curses on my bloodline. I got to begin to identify and recognize that once I get saved and I receive salvation, I've tapped into a new DNA, and that now I no longer have to follow the road that was previously laid for me. I can create a new avenue. I can create a new road, because Jesus Christ will come in and break down those places, and he'll begin to open up pathways for me, that he will show me the pathway that's going to lead to life. He's going to remove me from the path of destruction, but I have to be willing to listen and yield to his instructions. So listen, verse 11, because once the prophet came, now listen, here comes the angel of the Lord. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Now, everybody in your house may be jacked up. Everybody in your family may got some stuff that you be like, I don't even know how we got related. So, God, what did you do to put me in this? And there's some situations and some things that people do and things that are going on. But here it is. The angel of the Lord comes to speak to Gideon, and he begins to speak to something that somebody else has never spoke to that's in his spirit. And see what generational curses does, they bury potential. Generational curses bury potential because they hold you hostage to what everybody else has done. So what do they say? You just like your mama. You just like your grandmama. You just like your daddy. You're going to be just like him. You're going to follow the same footsteps. You're going to end up in jail just like your cousin Ray Ray was. And see, this is what the enemy begins to bring forth, and he keeps us into the bondage of the generational curse. And so what the enemy does, he begins to now bury potential that gives you now, what potential does, gives you hope to rise up above the curse rise up above the negative stigmas that the enemy has tried to place on your bloodline. So you have to get around people who see something in you that the people who you're familiar with will always keep you to the place. Oh, that's just a little Ray Ray. That's just a little, you know, little John John. You know, he ain't gonna bother nobody. He ain't about nothing. You know, he okay. He ain't gonna do nothing. He ain't gonna be too much of nothing. And so you have to begin to now move yourself to a place where God can speak to you and God can begin to pull out potential and speak to your spirit, man. Notice, Gideon has never been said that he was a mighty hero. And some people just need to know that you're greater than what your circumstances say to you. You're greater than the environment that you're in. It's so many people who were raised up in the projects, raised up on the low end, raised up in poverty, but they have pulled themselves together and they're now great people in society. So their environment did not hold them captive. They did not come subject to the things of what was around them. They begin to make a conscious decision and say, I choose to obey what God's potential has put on me, and I can rise above that. So I'm here to encourage you today that God is speaking a mighty hero in you. No matter what it looks like, no matter what they labeled you as, you're a mighty hero, and God's going to raise you up to break the generational curse that's been on your bloodline. How many people here are the first generation to graduate from college? If you know somebody that's in your bloodline and you were there with the first generation, your kids may be the first generation, raise your hand. You'll be blessed and excited about that. That's a curse-breaking spirit right there, because you were determined that you say, I'm going to finish high school and then I'm going to go to college, because God saw some potential in your seed that nobody else saw, that nobody else was calling upon. But God opened up an opportunity and you became a first-generation college graduate. Why? Because God spoke a mighty hero in you. He spoke to your potential. He spoke to the thing that was buried on the inside of you, and he called it out. He said, you're going to make it. You're going to break the curse today, baby. And see, once you break the curse, now your children's children's children. I'm going somewhere, y'all. I'm going somewhere. Come on, y'all. Listen, stay with me. He said, look at 13. He said, sir. He said, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Oh, my God. How many of us asked this question? How many of us have been in this state and in this situation? Well, God, if you so much God, if you so much everything, why am I going through this? Why is this happening? Why are these things going on? Listen, he said, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? He did not recognize and understand that the Bible said in the first verse that the Israelites committed evil in the Lord's sight. And that now, because of their evil, the result of that and the consequence of that has now been now the bondage to the Midianites for 7 years. And so what the enemy does, he blinds us to our particular cycle of sin because self-righteousness and pride rises up. That's not my sin, so sin is not my portion. See, we think because we ain't freaking everybody, we ain't no freaks, and we ain't lusting, and we ain't homosexuals, and we ain't, you know, lying and gossiping and you know, and stealing and robbing and beating folks over the head. We think that, you know, okay, you know, we ain't got no sin. But you're a whoremonger, and you're a glutton. You eat 17,000 Twinkies that you're not supposed to eat. And you don't want to confess up to it that you got an addiction to Twinkies. You got a problem that I'm a glutton. I'm too fat. I'm overweight. I need to stop sucking up every Twinkie that walks across my... But we say, come on, Minister Suzette, help me preach this thing. Huh? Come on. So he said, if the Lord is with us, why is all this happening to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? God was moving in the ancestors' life. He said, where are all those miracles at? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Oh, I'm here to... The enemy will play tricks on you. And he will make you think that God has abandoned you. But you have to recognize what choices and decisions have I made to create this atmosphere of a potential, of a perpetual bondage to the enemy's traps because of my disobedience. Because I didn't listen when he told me to do something. Because I didn't obey when he instructed me to go this way, but I went that way. And see, that's what we have to stop and recognize and realize. And we have to stop putting the blame on God. Stop putting the blame on the enemy. Where have you missed God's instructions that you did not obey? It's not that God abandoned us. It's what did we do with the information that he gave us when we did not apply it and did not do what he told us to do. So Gideon's interpretation was, now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Oh, look at verse 14. I love this. The angel of the Lord didn't even deal with this particular cause or this case that Gideon brought up before him. Look at the next verse. It says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you.
Lord Jesus.
He said, listen, I'm not about to defend me. I'm going to show you who I am. God don't have to defend himself. He will prove himself to us. And he will show himself strong and mighty. He said, I'm not even dealing with that. He said, I want you to go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Now, I want you to understand something, because now the command and the commission has been given from the Lord. I am sending you. So once God has sent you, can't nothing reverse that. Can't no enemy, no generational curse, no nothing can reverse when God said, I am sending you. And if God is sending you, he is going to prepare the way for you, and he is going to give you the thing that he's called you out to accomplish. He's going to equip you for it. He's going to prepare you for it. He's going to give you the skill set for it. All you have to do is say yes to when the call comes, I'm sending you. So here we go, because Gideon is in his flesh, because he doesn't understand, because he's constantly relying upon what his family has been doing and they've been accustomed to since they've been in this place of worshiping, and evil has come upon them. Now they caught up. Listen to verse 15. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. Now, I want you to highlight that, because we're going to expose something later in the scripture when we see it. Some of us may take that to think that when he says this, my clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. Now, we'll take that to think that, you know, they weak and don't have nothing. And it's nothing. No. Compared to others, you don't realize that you may not just, it's some people that are billionaires, but even at this status, he may seem that he's saying he's weaker than the whole tribe. He could be a millionaire and he's thinking that he's weak, because at the other level, there's billionaires in his clan, but you're going to see it. I'm just telling you, you can look at yourself and think that you're not important, or you're not valuable, you're not worthy, because you're constantly comparing yourself to others. But when you realize and understand your identity and who God has called you to be, you will now understand that I may seem like I'm the least. I may seem like I'm the weakest. But God takes the weak things to confound the wise. He'll take the foolish things to confound the wise. So you have to recognize and realize that it's not how you see you, it's how God sees you. And so here, my clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least of in my entire family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as you were fighting against one man. He said, I'm not even dealing with who you say you are, what perception you think that you have of who you are. He said, I will be with you. This is what we have to go forward in, is that no matter what is going on, God is with us. And if we're going to break these cycles, if we're going to break these chains of habit, confusion, and torment upon our bloodlines, then we're going to do it with God's help and his aid and assistance. He said, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. So look at verse 17. Gideon replied, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign. to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. Now, I'm going to have to break some things down. We're going to go real slow in this area. Because it's going to bless you. Now, he leaves. He told me, he said, stay here and I'm going to go and come back. He said, because I want you to prove that this is really the Lord. Because he needs to be reassured. Because he's not confident because he thinks he's the weakest. See, when you allow what everybody else has said about you, for you to now take on that identity, that's what's smothering your potential. That's what's keeping you bound from reaching the highest point of your particular place where God wants you to be at, because you're constantly holding on to the perception of what everybody has labeled you as. And so you have to begin to realize, he said, I want you to prove to me, Lord, that it's you. He said, so God said, you know, the angel of the Lord said, oh, he answered, I will stay here until you return. Can y'all, I need to read these scriptures, y'all. Can y'all work with me? Because I'm telling you, this thing's going to bless your life. Gideon hurried home. He cooked the young goat with a basket of flour. He baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meat in a basket and broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to the angel who was under the great tree. Now, didn't we just read they took all their goats? And their camels? But what God does, because he came and he was ready to present an offering, he wanted to give an offering. And so he was making a sacrifice out of what he had. And he said, I'm going to give this unto the Lord. You got to make a decision. Are you going to be willing to give out of what you have? And even if it's a little, just as the old Shunammite woman, she said, just got a little oil. And if you're willing to sacrifice that, I believe God will come in and he'll begin to multiply and he'll begin to meet your need. But you got to be first willing to give an offering. Because God's ready to try you. Because if you be willing to release the offering, he's going to see how far he can trust you. He's going to see how much he can trust you with. If you would release the little, and if you would sacrifice at this place, I'm going to see where I can take you. Pay attention to me, because we're going somewhere. Verse 20, the angel of God said to him, place the meat and unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it, and Gideon did as it was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the bread with the tip of the staff in his hand, and the fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all he brought, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. Now, look at verse 22. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. It is all right, the Lord replied. Do not be afraid. You will not die. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord of peace, Jehovah Shalom. The altar remains an orphan in the land of the clan of Abiezer to this day. Now, listen. The other thing of why he even gave an offering is because they've been given offerings to idols in Midian. They've been given offerings to idols. So this is why he went to prepare this particular meal, because his family, everybody's been offering idols because they're outside of the will of God. Now notice this. That's why he came and he built another altar. When he realized he had saw the Lord face to face, he had another revelation. He realized this was the true and living God. See, when you recognize that you've truly been anointed and called, you're not going to allow the mess of your bloodline to hinder where God's going to take you. You're not going to allow the stuff, the mess, the foolishness, the chaos, and the confusion that people keep rousing up and stirring up in your family, in your house, on your bloodline. You say, that's not going to impact me, because I've had a perception and realized that God is really speaking to me. And I'm going to build him an altar, and I'm going to call that place the place of peace. So when you get a place of confusion and chaos and torment, I dare you to build an altar that will represent the peace of God to come into your presence, come into your atmosphere. But what happens is we're not ready to build altars because we're not ready to give an offering. Altars require offerings. Altars require offerings. What am I offering to the Lord? To be my sacrifice, to be what I'm going to give to him, to show that he is my source, to show that he's supplying my needs, that he is the one that's taking care of me, that I'm going to offer to the true and living God. Let me show you. Oh, Jesus. Is this helping somebody?
Yes.
He said, let me read from 23 and we're going to pick it up. It is all right, the Lord replied. Do not be afraid. You will not die. He told him, he said, you're not going to die for seeing me face to face. He said, and Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. The altar remains at Orpah in the land of the clan of Abiezer to this day. Notice this, that altar remains. Because he called it a place that was cut out for God. And he has made a sacrifice and he made an offering there. And this is the place of the Lord. So listen, verse 25. Listen. That night, the Lord said to Gideon, take the second bull. Listen at the instructions, because it's a difference in this offering from the first offering. That night, the Lord said to Gideon, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old, pull down your father's altar to Baal, and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Didn't I tell you that in his family they were worshiping idols?
Yeah.
This is a stronghold. This is a generational curse that's been raised up. The family and the whole clan is worshiping idols, and he's given him instruction. He said, go pull down your father's altar to Baal.
Come on.
And cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary. Lay the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering. Please highlight that, because I'm going somewhere, y'all. On the altar, use it as fuel, the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down. Jesus, help me. Help me to break this down in the fullness of where they can understand it, God. Let me pull up my note that I have right here, because I need you to see this note. So listen. Now, here comes God again. And now, notice, the first offering Gideon chose. Free will offering.
You better teach about the offering. Come on.
Here comes God, and he puts a demand and he gives instructions on what to offer.
Come on.
Now this becomes a sacrificial offering. Because he says, I need you to go specifically. Listen, let me read it. It says, take the second bull from your father's herd. Does this sound like somebody don't have nothing? Notice he said the weakest clan. I'm told you, I'm pointing out things along the way. You got to pay attention to me today. He said we're the weakest clan and I'm the least of them. Now how is this you got? He said take the second bull from your father's herd. Herd is more than one, more than two, at least three. A herd. The one that is 7 years old. So he specifically says the one that's seven. Seven represents completion. And he says, pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. So I need you to go in and tear down the thing that has kept us separated and that has kept the children and the people of Israel from falling into a place of being in alignment and from allowing me to come into their heart to the fullness. I need you to cut down and tear down that idol that they have erected before me. And when you go down and tear it down, this represents the generational curse.
Yeah.
So when you obey my instruction, that tears down the generational curse. So we have to be responsible and being obedient to what Jesus, what God has called us to do, so that the cycle can be broken. So listen what he does. Oh my God. I'm teaching way better than y'all shout today. He said, then, now once you tear this down, you gotta put some what you gotta put something in place of it, because worship is in you.
Go ahead.
The propensity to worship is in you because the worshiper has created you.
Amen.
God the Father has created us in his image and his likeness. He said, you shall have no other gods before me. So worship is a part of our DNA. And what we have to do is now funnel our worship in the right direction. We can't have our worship going in a direction that's contrary to what God had called it to be in. He said, worship me. I am a jealous God. You shall have no other gods before me. So what happens is the enemy comes. He said, now once you tear this down, I need you to fill the void.
Go ahead. Come on.
What happens when we break down the generational curse? We don't fill the void. We don't fill the empty space. And what happens is the enemy comes back with seven more spirits, more stronger than the first time. And you find yourself battling and struggling again because you've not filled the void with the presence of God, with the obedience of God, and what God has called you to erect. He said, build an altar to me now. So now you got to build a place of worship that's truly laid out for me. Not for your kids, not for your spouse, not for your money, not for your job, not for material things, but an altar. Worship God from a true spirit. But he said, why? I seek to find a worshiper that will He said, verse 26, then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar. What's a burnt offering? Let me give you. This is what one of the defining things that begin to share about what a burnt offering is. And I want you to find this because God's getting ready to shift he's getting ready to shift gods on you. He's getting ready to tear down the God that's the idol, the false God that you've erected in your life to represent a true God. So now, once you build this altar, and I've given you what you should sacrifice and what you should give, he said, now this becomes the burnt offering. This is what a burnt offering. He said, the biggest difference between the burnt offering and other offerings is that to make a burnt offering, the entire animal was burned on the altar. Symbolizing, listen at this, total commitment or surrender to God.
Jesus.
Let me read it again. The biggest difference between the burnt offering and other offerings is that to make a burnt offering, the entire animal was burnt on the altar, symbolizing the total commitment or surrender to God. So what God was setting Gideon up for, he said, once you sacrifice this bull on this altar as a burnt offering, it now represents you becoming committed and surrendered all totally to God. And so this is where we have to get our power and our strength, is that have I committed fully and totally to God? Have I received him? Have I fully committed to him? Am I doing the thing that I'm surrendering wholeheartedly to him? Because this burnt offering and this offering represents a commitment offering. Are you going to be committed to the thing that I've called you to be? Are you going to be committed to not going back to worshiping Baal? Are you going to be committed to not falling back into the trap of what your grandmama and your uncles and aunties used to do? Are you going to move forward and move beyond this place? And he said, the burnt offering altar, using the fuel, the wood of the asher pole you cut down. So God said, I'm going to burn up the wood of the idol that they erected. Because that thing can't stand.
Come on now.
I'll consume it because I'm a consuming fire.
Jesus.
I'm almost to the point where I got to close this. I can't go all the way. We're going to pick it up next time. Look at verse 27. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded. What did he do?
Did as the Lord
commanded. What did he do?
Did as the Lord commanded.
Earlier it said, when the prophet came, he said they didn't listen to me.
Right.
So what happens is you become a curse breaker when you listen to God. So he said, so Gideon took his 10 servants. Now, once again, does this sound like a poorhouse? He had 10 servants. I'm trying to help you because you have more than what it looks like.
There it is.
You have more than what it looks like. He said, so Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord commanded, but he did it at night because he was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people of the town. Early next morning, as the people, we almost done, y'all, I promise. Early the next morning, as the people of the town began to stir, someone discovered that the altar of Baal had been broken down and that the actual pole beside it had been cut down. In their place, a new altar had been built, and on it were the remains of the bull that had been sacrificed. Oh my God. The remains were there because the remains represent the commitment and the surrendering. So it's left behind because I'm showing forth that you can't be committed to Baal. I destroyed Baal and used the pole of Asherah to burn the bull, the sacrifice, because why? I created this particular atmosphere where now you're going to be committed and you're going to desire to be in the presence of the Lord. It says the people said to each other, who did this? You mad because they're going to tore down your idol. You mad because they done torn down what you have built up. See, we're so easy to worship things that are built with hands. But we don't want to worship the true and living God. He gives you the ability to build and make things, not the idols, but he's given us the wisdom to make the things and to build this world that we see now. It's God ideas that come about. Oh my God. He said, then the people said, who did this? And after asking around, making a careful search, they learned it was Gideon, the son of Joash. Bring out your son, the men of the town demanded of Joash. He must die for destroying the altar of Baal and for cutting down the Asherah pole. Now, he did this at night thinking that no one was going to know or realize it was him. But somebody seen it. I believe it was God's intention that somebody saw it, because this is a part of the plan that God is preparing to unfold for Gideon and his household. Notice, it says, bring out your son. The men of the town demanded of Joash. He must die for destroying the altar of Baal and for cutting down the Asher pole. But Joash, his daddy, his father, he said, hold on now. He said, y'all ain't going to come up here and kill my son. See, his father still recognized, he's still protecting his house, protecting his children. He said, but Joash shouted to the mob in front of him. He said, why are you defending Baal? Will you argue his case? Whoever pleads his case will be put to death by morning. If Baal truly is a god, notice small g, let him defend himself and destroy the one who broke down his altar. Didn't I tell you earlier that God will defend himself? Y'all messing with me this morning? God will defend himself. And so here it is, Joash, who is a worshiper of Baal, who is in the position to know that what can happen. He said, if Baal really is Baal and he really is a god, he will defend himself. So you ain't got to kill my son. If Baal is who he says he is, and this is the God that we put our trust in, he will rise up and defend himself. So I'm here to let you know that the true and living God will defend himself. He'll prove himself. And that's what he did to Gideon. He proved himself, encouraged him. You're going to go ahead and break this curse. You're going to break the cycle. You're not going to be in that place of defeat anymore. God's doing a new thing in you. He said, Jesus. He said, if Baal truly is God, let him defend himself and destroy the one who broke down this altar, his altar. Verse 32, from then on, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, which means let Baal defend himself because he broke down Baal's altar. I'm here to let you know, when you break down the curse, your name get ready to change. Yeah. Instead of being curse carrier, you're going to be a curse breaker. They're going to begin to call you and say, you know what? You broke the curse. You're a curse breaker. You're a placer. You're a healer. You're a deliverer. You're the one that brings back righteousness to the bloodline. You're the one that brings back truth to the bloodline. You're the one that brings back integrity and character to the bloodline. You're the one who's broken the thing. You're the curse breaker today. I'm changing your name. I'm building you up because you have torn down Baal's altars. You will no longer have residence here. You will no longer abide in my life. I will no longer listen to you, Baal. I'm bowing down to the true and living God, and he will defend himself on my behalf. Oh, Jesus. We're getting ready to close. We're going to close at verse 35. We're going home. I can't do no more after that because we got to go. It's 11:17. It's been that good. Somebody said, see, I love it. It's been that good. You didn't even know that timing went by. That means I had your attention. I thank God, Holy Spirit, for allowing us to keep the attention of the people. Listen to verse 33, and we're going to close it out at 35. We're going home. Soon after, the armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east formed an alliance against Israel and crossed the Jordan, camping in the valley of Jezreel. Here we go, y'all. Please, please, please pay attention to this. Highlight this part right here, verse 34. Then the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. Hey. Oh, my God, Jesus. Whew, Pastor Benicia, I'm about to run up out of here. She said, when he obeyed the command, now the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. My obedience opens the door for God's Spirit and his presence to dwell among me. And you got to realize that my obedience is a weapon against the enemy. This is why the enemy tries to keep you out of the will of God, out of the plan of God. He tries to keep you in a place of despair, depression, anxiety, stress, overworked, underpaid, all kind of stuff. He tries to place upon you. And so you got to realize my obedience just gave the Spirit of God the open door opportunity to rest upon me and to give me power that I can go forward and I can begin to redeem my bloodline. I can redeem my family. I can bless my children. I can bless my grandchildren. I can bless my great-grandchildren. Why? Because the Spirit of God has come upon me with power. He said he blew a ram's horn as a call to arms, and the men of the clan of Abiezer came to him. He also sent messengers throughout Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, summoning their warriors, and all of them responded. What? When the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, God will allow the people who need to be with you, the people who who gonna roll with you, the people who gonna fight with you, the people who gonna stand with you. He'll allow them to respond to the call because they recognize there's something different about you. They recognize that you have stepped into an arena and an area and a place that you weren't walking in before. No longer are you bound by the curse of your past. No longer are you walking in the fear that the enemy had tried to place upon you. You're walking in victory now. You're walking in your winning season now. You're walking in your blessed season now. You're walking in your season of peace and prosperity and joy and healing and divine help. This is what God has placed upon you. And when you call for help, he said they will respond to you. Why? Because they see something new in you. Why? Because old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. I am a new creature in Christ. That stuff has passed away and you got to walk in that and believe that and move forward to break the curse.
Yeah.
And that's what Gideon was set up to do. I'm getting ready to break this evil. I'm getting ready to break this particular plot and plan that the enemy set up. I got to destroy this enemy of the Midianites because they've been tormenting us and coming at us for too long. And my obedience has given me and prepared me for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon me. And they recognize now I'm not the weakest of the clan. When I blew the ram's horn, it got their attention. When I made the call, they came forward and listened. Because why? The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And that's what you have to recognize. People see the anointing is on you. People see the power of God that's in you. They see, people see the potential that you have. But the enemy's trying to smother it. He's trying to keep it suppressed. And they don't want you to open your mouth. They don't want you to pray for nobody. They don't want you to encourage nobody. They don't want you to speak life into nobody. They want you to just walk around mad, evil, upset, angry every day. No, you got to encourage. You got to uplift. You got to bless. You got to speak life on today. That's what God will do. And oh, we got to go now. I'm done. Give the Lord a hand, praise. I don't know where we're going to go next week, but I'm telling you, that thing right there, it's so much meat in here. So much meat. Because we know the end of the story, how Gideon goes forth and how God begins to now break down his army. He said, you got too many, boy. He said, you got too many. I know they all called, they all responded to the call. He said, but if I allow you to go in here with this many men, you're going to think you did it. I told you. That's why he called you out, because you're going to be the one to break it, because you were the least one likely to succeed. You were the least one likely that was going to be the one to make it. They said, oh, you was going to die a long time ago. You had struggles when you was a kid. You had asthma and had all kind of issues back and forth in the hospital, sicknesses, but here you are standing strong, making it, going forward. God's keeping you, blessing you. Oh, my God. We got to go, y'all. I'm excited.
Come on.
I'm excited. Come on, give the Lord another hand for us. I want to encourage somebody. I call her a young lady, but it was an older lady that was in my store. She was leaving out, and I held the door for her. This is another lady from the store I told on Thursday, but she was an older lady, maybe in her, you know, mid to late 60s. And she said, she came out, thank you. And she says, I don't know how the conversation started, but she was like, I'm retired. I've been retired for 5 years. And she said, I told my daughter, she said, I've been sitting up in this house and I said, she had a bag. And then I said, you want me to take to your car? She said, oh, I ain't got no car. She said, I sold that, I'm retired. I said, okay. And so she said, well, I've been retired for 5 years and I've been sitting around the house. And she said, and these bones and joints started just stiffening up on me, a little arthritis. So I said, I gotta get up and move around. And so she said that she told her daughter, she said, you don't even need nothing from the store. She said, well, I'll find some. She said, I'm going to go anyway. Mm-hmm. But when she was saying, she said, I feel better when I get up and I move around and I'm able to just move and do a little bit. So I'm encouraging you. I'm praying to God that we will have a balance where we feed our natural man, not just food. Yeah, that's right. Because feeding the natural man is not just about eating. Feeding the natural man is also about getting the regimen of movement and exercise in order to maintain that natural body. And then we have to feed ourselves spiritually when we read the word of God, we pray, and we do the things that pertain to our particular belief system. So I'm praying to God, God, give us balance.
Yes.
That our natural man and our spiritual man receives the things that are necessary for it to sustain life.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
So if you can't do nothing but walk two steps, walk them two.
Amen.
If all you can do is walk to the front, walk to the back, Amen. Walk to your kitchen, walk to the living room, right. Do that.
Yeah.
But God, she encouraged me because she said, you got to keep moving.
Here it is.
She said, I was just feeling it. She said, I'm going to get a move. She said, I ain't got to go. I don't need nothing from the store. She bought a few little items. And I had one little item in the store. I was in the back. She said, go ahead. I said, no, I ain't going to hurry. I'm working and I'm going to be all right. Go ahead, do what you do. But it's a blessing that when you can hear that, because I want to reach that age.
Right.
So you got to take in wisdom where it's released at and catch it. I ain't 67 or 68 yet, but God, I want to see it. And I want to see it and be able to have the mobility, the strength in my legs. So she said, well, I've been retired for 5 years. I just can't sit here and just watch this TV all day long. She said, I got to get up and go walk to the store. Now, it ain't the best neighborhood also, but she said, I walk to the store. She's not afraid, scared. I'm going to the store and I'm coming back home. You have to do what you need to do. Feed your natural man. Feed your spirit man. That's my little nugget for today. Close today. Any first-time visitors in the building today? Any first-time guests? Please stand if you're a first-time visitor. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is your first time here. Can you please just greet us, tell us your name, who invited you out, how you heard about the ministry, or whatever that case may be, and how you enjoyed the service.
Well, I used to be in here, but I worked in Atlanta, Georgia. So I came back home. But my name is Mary L. Jones. And Dorian is part of my family, and so are the wives.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So when you got here, you found some more family. Won't you do it? Amen. Well, I appreciate you. Amen. Welcome to New Covenant Worship Center. Thank you for fellowshipping with us today. I pray that God met you here, and I pray that God ministered to your spirit and gave you what you needed while you were here on today. I appreciate you. Thank God, Father, for any other first-time guests. Amen. Everything is well. It's good. Listen, let's stand on our feet. Anybody in the house that's not saved, has never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, if you've never confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, it's an easy, easy thing to do. And the best decision you'll ever make in your life is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and he rose, and God will he will forgive you and cleanse you of all your sins. And all you have to do is believe in your heart, and God will come in, and you'll receive salvation today. Is there anyone that's here that has not accepted salvation? Amen. Everybody's good. Good to see you, Sister Sherry, in the building. Amen. Brother Bell, amen. Boy, you came here 2 suits in a row. You clean, boy. I'm telling you that. Boy, I'm telling you, you better watch out. Y'all better watch out, Brother Bell. I'm telling you, he back. But he been working, though. It's good. It's good to see you. I'm grateful. Amen. So come on, Dorian the third, and dismiss us.
Hello. All right. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for blessing us with the ability to be in the house today and hearing the word about the big payback, Father God. We thank you that you will give each of us, or have given each of us, an understanding of what was preached, O Lord. We thank you that when you give us instruction, that we will follow it to the best of our ability. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that you would just be pleased with us. We ask that you put a hedge of protection over each one of us as we make it to and from our destinations, Father God. Keep us safe. Lord, we rebuke the spirit of car trouble, engine failure, accidents, incidents, oh Lord. And we thank you that you'll allow all of us to retain our health, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.